Oh, hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Marie. And thank you all for being here. I am Lisa Natoli, and I'm here with Bill Free, my sweetheart.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Blessings from Maine. Namaste.
Good afternoon. Good evening, wherever you are. Lynn's here. Ellen. David. Namaste. David says namaste.
Namaste, my friend.
That's very funny.
That's right.
We think you know you. That's what he does. Good one, David. Namaste. I'm namasteing him right now. The Christ in me honors and recognizes the Christ in you. I see you. I appreciate you. I honor you. Mm-hmm. I love you. Mm-hmm. So today is officially my last day on the Thursday spot, and I just want to express my extreme appreciation for David Fishman, and I want to just really tell the story just briefly. I'd like to use my last day here to read the cab story from the Urtex from Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford. But I just want to start off on my last day here just really just acknowledging David Fishman and just my gratitude for how you pushed me, David, back in 2005. I remember you... I don't know how... We even came to meet. I don't remember. This was back before Facebook and back before online things. I guess I had a blog. I did have a website back then, and I was writing. And David contacted me and asked me if I would teach. And my immediate response was no. I don't need to teach. I don't want to teach. I don't have a microphone. I mean, I came up with every excuse. And I'm grateful, David, that you kept coming back. You really kept saying, you know, it's good to just express this message. That's how you learn it. You have to teach it to learn it. And I just thought, I'm not there yet. I'm not good enough to teach it. I don't want to. And I really realized that David was right, that in the expressing this message, that you will hear it and teach it yourself. And so, yes, it's not my last day on Gather. It's my last weekly Thursday spot, so I'm just letting that go. My life has just been taking me on a ride lately, and so I've sent a message out to Lynn and David and just saying, you know, I'm going to let the Thursday spot go. Ever, you know, there's an invitation to come on, I'm very happy to come here. This really is just a very strong and powerful community, and I just really appreciate the consistency of it. And so just wanted to say that first of all. And most of you know I talk a lot about one of my teachers, Greta, and she always says that the new moment can't present itself until you declare the old one as accomplished. And that's really the teaching also of A Course in Miracles, that it's impossible to be in two places at one time. You have to really say, okay, that moment's over. Conflict is over. And you close that door. You close it. You don't wait for the new door to open. You first close the old door. You say, I'm done with pain. I'm done with sickness. I'm done with those things. And you close that door. And then the new door gets opened. And so it's often, too, like you begin to see when you get into a routine of things. And it's very sneaky. It seems like it's not a routine, but you'll know when it is. And I've just really been listening a lot lately and just was really just seeing that, okay, it's just time to let the weekly spot go for a little while. So, I love you. Let's see here. David says, what you are will teach you of itself. Yes, that is so true. Aha! Woohoo! Can't master a space until you find one to recreate you. Werner Erhard. Well, that's excellent. That's beautiful, yep. You know, and that really is true. Like, you really just see, like, you're in a space, and it's accomplished. And then you can say, I'm done with that. Like, everything's just a lesson God would have me learn. And once you've learned the lesson, Greta's always taught too, like you keep moving on. It's like you don't stay in the first grade forever. You just allow yourself to keep letting yourself be in the expansion. So I'm going to read from chapter 3 in the Ur-Text. Do you have anything to share, Billy?
No, except that I heard you on Gather before we ever met. It was in
way before
it was
we
in 2007. It was so funny because I have an old email that I sent to Regina.
Yeah,
and I said this girl Lisa Natoli I heard on Gather the other day. It was when I was communicating with Regina a lot in 2007. I said I heard this girl named Lisa Natoli and she's really good.
I really
liked her, and it's so funny. I saw that email sometime last year. I was going through my Yahoo emails, and I came across that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered that I used to listen to you sometime on Sunday.
I think you had the spot before me.
I might have had a noontime spot, and you had an afternoon spot on Sunday.
Well, I had a 12 o'clock Eastern Time spot, which was right after the Sunday Servicing Center. So I didn't have a computer. So I would go to Max's house, and I would get a connection there. So I would come straight on, and I think you were on before me. I think you were on in the spot before me, and I'd catch the last couple of minutes.
So I don't remember which one it was. It was a while back, but I remember listening, and really enjoying the content of what I heard. And also, as I recall, I would listen to Abby and Adrian.
I would listen to
Glenda Gale.
Yeah, Glennie.
And I would say to Deb, who are these people? Where they seem to have a lot of light coming from what they say. It was just really interesting. And then I remember also hearing, I think I heard a broadcast where you were talking about you're going to go to this bed and breakfast.
Right.
You're so excited that you're moving into this bed and breakfast and how exciting that was. And I recall just saying, wow, this is a very interesting person here, this Lisa Natoli. And so anyway, I actually did meet you on Gather.
And now we're together in the flesh.
Now we're together across the table from each other enjoying the same meals and et cetera.
All of that fun stuff.
Yeah, so I think Gather actually had something to do with the connection. Besides, I know that Gather had something to do with the connection for me ending up in Boston at Poppyville.
Right, yeah.
And that's where we met in the flesh.
Well, that's the thing, because this really is this place, like it is a community that does connect teachers with other teachers. And David, you are so funny. He says, we cross-pollinate, the nectar is love. that's hilarious. That's true.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ron. I don't know. I don't know why I got into the reflecting. You asked me that.
But
I think it's because you know, this looks like, I know it's not, but it looks like you're closing the door on an old venue.
Well, I know that's not true, because I know also, like, that we make these connections that are forever. And so, for me, it's just giving up the Thursday spot.
Yeah.
You know.
But I totally also know how busy you are. Mm-hmm. And believe me, guys, she's like 10 times busier than I. She makes me dizzy. The things that she's responsible for, it's just crazy. So I'm really happy also for Lisa that she's giving up the spot, because it does take an extra step away from the things that she's also committed to for the Teachers of God Foundation and also for Unity in Amesbury. She's very committed there, and she's on, you know, she's like the key person in roles, spiritual and administrative roles, so we need her.
Down at Unity.
We need her at Unity. She's very involved there, and we need her, the Teachers of God, of course. She's like totally the go-to person and the admin there. So she'll be missed here on Gather, but she'll be very much appreciated to have her focus her available energy in those other places.
Totally. Thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
Love this guy. So, Bill and I have a Course in Miracles group that we have on Friday mornings at Unity. And last Friday, Bill told the cab story. And I've read it before, but it was great to listen to it again. So I want... Oh, hi, Chris. Chris in the house.
Chris,
we love you. Baby Jesus, Ron. Got a party coming here.
Yeah.
Doc Hill.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Where did that name come from?
It cracks me up every time. Baby Jesus. Katie's here. Baby Jesus. Baby Jesus. It's very funny. So the topic that Bill was introducing last Friday to the group was Holy Spirit, decide for me. So what we do on Fridays is we just introduce a topic, which we just encourage everyone to practice it during the week. So we really don't like to have the emphasis being on teaching so much in the class. We really want to just introduce one idea that you can go and take and just begin to apply it. Because that's the only time you're going to see a change in the practical application. You can talk about these ideas till the cows come home and nothing will ever happen. But when you start applying, you know, acknowledging that there is a presence with you, before you make any decision, stop, be still, check in, and say, Holy Spirit, decide for me, and then listen, then you begin to see that there is a voice in you. It comes as either a sound or a feeling or intuition. But you will begin to see, as you listen to that voice, that there is a presence with you. Holy Spirit is with you. And you can start to trust in it. So, one of the things, of course, A Course in Miracles says is, your one major problem now, so I love the Course because he sets you up. Like, he sets you up. So he's setting me up. He's telling me, you have one major problem now. So I sort of sit up straight like, oh my God, what is it? Your one major problem right now is that you make a decision first and then you ask. That's your one major problem. So that's like, oh, okay, you're right. I do that. I make all these decisions. I get up, I take a shower, I make a coffee, I'm on total autopilot, I open my computer, I check my emails, I go to Facebook, I check my phone, I check my calendar, I see if I need to be somewhere. And then somewhere in the process of this, I kind of stop myself and say, oh, what should I do now? And he'll tell me to do something, but then I'll immediately think, oh, yeah, but my calendar tells me I have to be here first. And so it is literally a training. So chapter 3 in the Urtext, the original manuscript, says retraining the mind. So this course is a mind training course. Good students assign study periods for themselves. So that's what this is. You're making time to turn your attention to God first. That becomes the discipline. So Jesus uses the word discipline and commitment about a million times in this course. And how you are needed. You're working, co-partnering with the Holy Spirit, one with God. And so this section, it's so great because it's gives a very detailed description of how to work with the Holy Spirit. So it says, these are coming from Helen Schuckman's notes. Tell Bill that the reason why he was so strange yesterday is because he allowed himself a number of fear-producing attitudes. They were fleeting enough to be more will-of-the-wisps than serious will errors, but unless he watches this kind of thing, he will find the notes fearful and, knowing him well, will misdistantiate. So it's telling us straight away, this is the requirement to watch your mind. Be aware of the thoughts that you're having and choose, and don't wait for a miracle. Just recognize the thoughts when you're having them and choose again. And he's saying, that's the reason why you felt so strained. But what most people do is they feel strained and they ask for a miracle to get into a condition that you've already decided is the one you want, you know, more vibrant and alive. But every thing that seems to occur is a lesson that God would have me learn. So a feeling of being strained or sick or lonely or sad or angry or feelings of blame or shame, these are all just things that I can look at and then recognize I don't want, these conditions are not God's will. God is but love, and this is not his will. This feeling of being tired, this is not what I am. It's not the will of God. And then Jesus gives us a very practical way of removing that obstacle. Acknowledge it, give it to the Holy Spirit. He says, this cannot be removed from you unless you offer it up. And then the light of the Holy Spirit shines it away. So you are in a practice now of noticing, and then you're also recognizing the presence of God within you as you, and you're saying, okay, I don't want this anymore. So his unprovoked irritation was unpardonable except by himself, and he did not choose to pardon it. You did. So this is Jesus talking to Helen Schuckman. You did, but I'm afraid you were under some strain in doing so. Unfortunate and weakened your own ability to behave healingly towards Bill at the time and later also towards Lewis, both of whom did act stupidly. You know what I love about this Course in Miracles and the notes? It's unfortunate that the foundation took them out. Because I think a lot of spiritual teachers think, oh, we're just supposed to be loving and sunshine and flowers, and let's all just get along. If you read these notes, he's saying you acted stupidly. You acted unkind and foolishly, and like he cuts right to the chase. He doesn't like put flowers on this thing and saying, oh, well,
you're not guilty.
You're not guilty. You know, it'll be better next time. No, he cuts right straight through the bullshit and says that you're off the mark.
Yeah, he does say that we're not guilty, but in the moment of the conduct, he does nail Bill and Helen for some things that they just did that were like the rest of us. We do mm-hmm. stupid things.
Exactly. Marie, that's hilarious. Marie wrote Kumbaya.
That's right.
No, that's funny. And so, yeah, so this is, I love this. It's hilarious, really, because I like how Jesus is constantly busting. Well, what he does in this section is, first he's, you know, he's the voice that's coming through Helen Schuckman, so Helen seems like this is all about Bill. He's talking about Bill, and she starts to feel a bit superior, and he then busts her. He busts her and says, you're no better. And that's the experience that I've had in my own life, is that I have a teacher who's uncompromising, and he doesn't let me get away with stuff. He's always calling me to the mark. Yes, thank you. Get real. Jesus is always saying, get real about your thoughts. So both of you did act stupidly, but one stupidity at a time is usually enough. You are getting too close to the misuse of mental retardation when stupidity sets in all around. Bill, having already weakened himself, was very unmiracle-minded, first by not asking Dora if she wanted a lift in the cab, which was going her way. Even if she didn't want it, she would have been able to use the thought well. There is probably no human error that is more fear-provoking in the will-behavior conflict sense than countering any form of error with error. The result can be highly inflammable. By reacting to Dora's stupidity with his own, all of the elements which are virtually certain to engender fear have been provided. Bill should note that this is one of the few times he had to wait for a cab. He thought he took care of it by holding the door of a cab, which did come for that lady, but he was misguided in this belief. Beliefs are thoughts and thus come under Christ's guidance, not control. Actually, by giving this cab to her, he was very unkind to you. And I like the first chapter of the notes. I don't know if it made it into the blue book, but it probably did. It says, don't just ask which miracles you should perform. It also says to ask, and which miracles should I not perform? Because he said one of the greatest errors of teachers is that they, because they're coming from a place of being helpful, that they overdo everything. They just think, I'm going to give love to everybody. I'm going to help everybody. And Jesus says no, because some people aren't ready to accept it. So let me tell you which ones are ready to accept it, and don't waste your time and your breath on the ones who are not ready. Just leave them alone. They don't need you to help them. But I'll tell you which ones. I'll tell you, like, which ones to give your time and attention to, and I'll tell you which ones don't waste your time with. And that's what he says. This saves time. Asking him for his guidance saves time. So he's telling Bill that him not asking, him giving the cab over to Dora was unkind to Helen. It was quite apparent that you were extremely cold and also very late. The idea that giving her the cab would atone for his previous errors was singularly out of place and well calculated to lead to further error. If instead of attempting to atone on his own, he had asked for guidance, there would have been no difficulty whatever in the cab situation. It was not necessary that anyone wait at all. And there's another section I was reading yesterday in here that said that I will create problems for you. Like, I'm here to help remove the problems. I will not create them for you, but you must not attempt to solve them on your own. So stop solving your own problems. Stop figuring out what's a miracle. Just give up every plan and just start listening to the Holy Spirit. And I love this because he's saying, if he had asked for guidance, there would have been no difficulty whatever in the cab situation. It was not necessary that anyone wait at all.
Well, that was... That's in a nutshell. That's where those three words, decide for me, hit me right between the eyes a couple of years ago when I was in Quincy, and we were doing, you know, I just moved into the bungalow, I think, and we were having a Wednesday night study group, or Wednesday night study group. Decide for me came, it was very strong. That's where I was. I could get clarity. Mm-hmm. And decide for me is so fast.
It is.
And you actually can get to a point where in fact, he says it in that section called the same curriculum,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about decide for me. It talks about it in the responsibility for sight. It talks about it in the manual for teachers. And we can get to a point where we don't have to use the words decide for me. We mm-hmm. just acknowledge our guide
yep.
in our thought,
right.
in our mental, you know, habit.
Yep.
And Jesus describes that. And until you make this a habit, yes, go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will become a habit. And then decide for me will be the replacement of the knee-jerk reaction
mm.
to things that seem to be coming at me.
Yeah. Everyone says yes, Bill. Lynn says yes. I am in such a point of fear and indecision right now, and my guidance is wait and trust. Yeah. I would like to do a shout out for Miss Lynn Johnson, who is just so dear to my heart, but I saw her phone was shut off, and I don't know what to do about that, except I just wanted to. It's coming out of my mouth right at the moment, but I just know that Lynn is on this board all day long in support, and that your phone's being shut off, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that too. Is there some way that this awakening together group foundation.
Oh, good. David got it turned on.
Sending Lynn some money.
Thank you.
I mean, money really does help the world go round.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Lynn can start getting paid as a support on this Awakening Together project.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be okay?
Yeah.
Start sending her a check every week.
Right. Yes. Amen. I agree. Yeah, because that's really what it is. Like Jesus tells us, you say yes to this plan and all needs are taken care of. And so it is like he tells us we need money. You know, when you're here in the world, but it's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem as we're really stepping into the plan. But my own experience is that I had such fear around money that I'm learning that I have to ask now, really just kind of say, yes, I value what I'm doing, and communicating, that's all. And then it all just comes easily.
Mm.
So, thank you. Talk to Regina and bring it to the board. Okay, there it is.
All right, I'll send her a letter today.
We will.
Definitely send her a letter today. Encouraging the expression of love
for the full-time staff.
In money, in the
yeah.
form of money. Let it
yeah.
show up in the form of money. Where our sister can definitely use it to pay her bills.
Right, exactly.
We all can use the money. And also, you know, the universe loves a generous giver.
Totally. So, we're listening. We're just listening and walking in it. So, it says here, Bill's original slight to Dora because of his own need to get home as he perceived it stopped him from benefiting from the time-saving device of the miracle. He would have gotten home quicker if he had taken time to use time properly. You, so in capital letters, he's talking to Helen, were suffering from strain and got quite irritated at the girl who stood next to the door on the side which blocked its opening. And, you know, this is amazing because you read these stories and you recognize Jesus is watching everything I do. Everything. He doesn't miss one thing. Not one thing. Now, I think I'm getting away with stuff because no one physical is around. But he is watching me at all times. And he's going to tell me exactly where I made a mistake. Not to make me guilty. But to show me where I still enter into these old habits that make me tired, that strain me, that cause conflict. So her presence there made it necessary each time the door was open to hold it for a much longer time than was necessary, and you were angry because this made you cold. Actually, the girl was taking care of the younger child who was standing outside, and both of them were really mentally retarded. If you will remember, the older girl asked you very uncertainly about the bus, and you were well aware at the time of her extreme uncertainty. It would have been much wiser had you built up her confidence instead of associating with her stupidity. You know, and I like this because this is like a very simple practice that each one of us can really learn. It's this idea of charity. You know, of really seeing your brother and placing him further along than he believes himself to be. This is a plan of teachers. So somebody helped you. Somebody helped you to see something you couldn't see. You know, it's the whole Simon Peter story in the Bible. Simon was one of Jesus' disciples and was very uncertain. He was very weak and very uncertain. And Jesus, knowing that his role really was just to help them know their own identity in God, told him that you, Peter, and Peter is just a name, Petros, for rock, it's a solid foundation, I will build my church on you. And the church isn't a physical structure, it's that Christ identity. And I'm going to build this whole idea on you. And that's what the Course is saying. It's that there's one mind, one teacher. How many teachers of God does it take to save the world? One. And I'm going to build the whole thing on you. And then Peter then rose up into that image that Jesus had just given to him. But what most people do is they look at the appearance and say, oh, you're so stupid, and why did you do that? And instead of really just hunting, you know, what does it say? It says the ego is the scavenger dogs that go hunting for what you did wrong. The Holy Spirit, the Christ of you, goes looking for the truth of you, for what you did right, and then holds that up. And so that becomes your commitment to just say, okay, wow, instead of like putting somebody down, like he's talking with Helen here with this girl at the bus, saying, okay, so she noticed that this girl was very uncertain. And he's telling her it would have been wiser if you'd built up her confidence instead of associating with her stupidity. This reduced your own efficiency, and the only thing that saved you then was that you did remember in the cab to ask about the notes instead of assuming that you were necessarily to arrange to meet the next day and go over them. Bill had already become so misguided that it did not occur to him that it was his own will, which he justified by the contents of the recent notes. A misuse of truth only seemingly on its own behalf might be questionable. You took poor notes yourself here because you got mad at him on remembering this. While you did try to will write in the cab, you did not quite succeed. The error is showing up now. Bill thus placed himself... Hold on. Bill thus placed himself in a condition to experience a fear rather than a love reaction. Helen Schuckman notes that she was going to write an excellent position but did not do so. Answer, you were right about the misuse of excellent here, and please do cross it out. You are still angry. An excellent position for miscreation is not a meaningful approach to the problems. Why am I hearing those noises? Sure. It doesn't matter. So it was indeed discourteous, and indeed is not necessary. It was your own error here. So she had written indeed and then crossed it out. I am not saying this with any harsh overtones at all. I'm just trying to create better learning conditions for the study periods. We want as little interference as possible for very good reasons. Now, go back to Bill. He was discourteous when he told you that he wanted to keep the original copy of the notes, having decided to have them Xeroxed on his own will and then justifying it by a very slight misinterpretation of what I said about useful for others. In fact, if he will reread the actual quote, he will see that it really means useful for him. You had interpreted it that way, and frankly, that was pretty clear to me at the time. But this sort of thing happens all the time. I feel like Jesus is just like at the end of his patience, you know? He's really just trying to work with these guys, and he's trying to work with us and with me. And you know, it just sometimes it's just like I can feel like he's just a bit exasperated. It should be noted, however, that the result was not only considerable and totally unnecessary planning on Bill's part, but also a failure to utilize what was intended for him as a help for himself. And before you get too self-satisfied, I would remind you that you do it all the time, too. Bill acted inappropriately towards you by saying that he wanted to be sure that the original was not lost or dirty. It is noticeable that, having already decided what he wanted to do, it never occurred to him that it was possible that he might lose or dirty them himself, especially as he had not entrusted them to me. So, you know, that's important. We were learning how to entrust everything to Jesus and just put it all in his hands. This is a form of arrogance that he would be much happier without. He should also note that this would probably not have occurred had he not been already literally off the beam. Be show him that this pun is to reassure him that I am not angry. If he does not get it or does not like it, I know it is not very good. The reason is that he put me in a position where I can really give him very little at this moment. I love that. But I want him to know that I am very well aware of the exceedingly few times he now makes errors of this kind. He has come a very long way in this respect. It seems a shame that he should allow himself even this much discomfort from it. I suggest to you that we pray for him, and I pray for your full cooperation in this. This will correct your errors and help him react better to the work on the bookcase, which may otherwise lend itself for misuse by misprojection. There would have been no problem at all about the bookcase, and perhaps even no bookcase, that's funny, if the solution of the storage problem had been left to me. And there's a sentence I was reminded of the other day. I used to live with this sentence, and then I forgot about it, but I was reminded the other day about it. Jesus says, "My strength will support you, so don't worry and leave the rest to me." And I wrote it back on a card this week, because I just want to remember that. My strength will support you, so don't worry and leave the rest to me. So it's a constant acknowledgement that you have a guide. But at the same time, we have listening to what he's telling us to do, and we have got to follow in the instructions that he's giving to us. And just, you know, often it will include an idea like speaking up. You're going to be totally confronted by your ideas, like with asking for money. And you'll think, oh no, Jesus is with me, he'll make it happen. No, all things are lessons that God would have me learn, and I'm having to learn how to really speak up. A thought comes right into my mind, as clear as anything. It's the Holy Spirit communicating to me in a way that's going to be helpful for everybody involved. But then what I do is say, oh, I don't know. I guess I'll just wait and see what happens. And then nothing happens. Or problems. Like what I like about this section here is he's saying, because you're not listening, problems occur. Problems need not occur if you listen and follow and really just rise up and know, like, that you're helping me. Like, I need you and you need me, but you've got to work with me. But what I, you know, was constantly doing was to just say, well, that's a little too much of a stretch for me. I think I'll just wait and see if there's a different option here. Option B, I'll wait for. And so what he says in this section I just read is he wants to give us more, but he can't. He's talking about Bill here. He says, I wanted to tell him more, but he closed himself off so much that I just said to him was the most that I could give him. David says, misinterpretations seem innocent, yet its pure judgment, which the Son of God uses, is a sharp-edged toy. Accepting the atonement is the only defense that doesn't cut both ways. My brother is myself. I'm always speaking about myself, yes. When you meet anyone, remember, it is a holy encounter, and as you see him, you will see yourself. And as you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Yes, beautiful. So it says here, he's talking about this bookcase and the storage problem now. So he's saying, oh, here it is. This is just what I was talking about earlier. It's in this section. It says, there would have been no problem at all about the bookcase, and perhaps even no bookcase, if the solution of the storage problem had been left to me. I have promised to guide you out of problems and will certainly not create them for you, but this means that you do not undertake to solve them yourselves. A storage problem is hardly more difficult for me to solve than a space problem. You started well in your attempt to pray with me for Bill, but ended badly. That's funny. He's uncompromising, isn't he? He's not there as a cheerleader. Good job. You did a good job. He's saying, no, you started okay, but it ended badly.
Well, the thing I like about it is that he's right here for us.
Right.
That's what I really like about the context of that dialogue, is that mm-hmm. he's right here for us. And we have mm-hmm. the same ability, the same access to his help as she did.
Right, exactly.
And I love hearing that. It just makes me, because sometimes we get perplexed.
I know.
Sometimes we go, Jesus, I don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. This is like totally, it's not, I don't have clarity. And we can go to him, we can trust that his guidance will just take us where we are. And in a few moments or a few hours, we do what Lynn said, that she's just trusting, or we do what we all do, and we rest in the knowing, and all of a sudden, I mean, it's miraculous, all of a sudden the problem's gone and the solution presents itself.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we ask, that's when we stop, that's when the God currency drops in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get a phone call, we'll get a new idea. We definitely, when we give it to him, we definitely will be relieved of the burden of frustration or fear or whatever, that, you know, that stuff just dissolves in the presence of life, in the process of communication, of joining with my brother or with my teacher and saying, decide for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just love that he's not standing on the side. I mean, Marie, that was a hilarious comment. You know, Jesus is not standing on the side singing Kumbaya. You know, he's not. He's a very powerful teacher who's here for us. And if we let him, he will bust us as much as we will let him. Like, I will really always want to encourage people to say, let him really be the teacher that he is. And, yes, thank you. He is an uncompromising teacher, and that's why we love him. And it's a return to integrity. Thank you, David. And to not be afraid of his instruction, to not be afraid of his guidance. Just, wow, I'm going to really just allow myself to just be shown my own errors and not defend myself anymore, and then just to let them go. So he says, Zanville's caricature of her. You could have laughed with Bill, but not at Rose. Real courtesy never does this. You should know that all God's children are fully worthy of complete courtesy. You should never join with one at the expense of another. When you called Bill about joining Eugene and Anne at lunch, you should have waited to ask me. In fact, you should not have even told Anne that you would call. See this? He's so specific. Then you could have asked Bill first if he would want to come and called Anne back. It is true that it was better that he came, but this has nothing to do with the real issue. There are ways of treating others in which only consistent courtesy, even in very little things, is offered. This is a very healing habit to acquire. Consistent courtesy, even in the little things. That's a very real healing habit to acquire. Bill's answer to your call was a clear statement of his own sadly conflicted state. I don't want you, but that'll all go. Whenever any invitation to join others in a gracious way is offered, it should always be met with respect, although it need not always be accepted. However, if it is met ungraciously, the resulting feeling may well be one of coercion. How do you say that word?
Coercion?
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
This is always a split-will reaction. Bill did not solve this by acting graciously. The lunch need not have entailed either mental or physical strain for him, and no need to escape should have arisen. This was a regression of the unprofitable kind, Bill will continue to experience this need from time to time until... So see, there's an end to all of these little emotions that we're experiencing. Until he is willing to realize that there is nothing he needs or wants to escape from. It is very hard to get out of the chain of miscreation which can arise out of even the simplest misthought. To borrow one of your own phrases, this kind of human tragedy is far easier to avert than to undo. I wrote that in Gorgeous for God. That was one of my favorite ideas. It's easier to stay out of jail than to get out of jail. It's easier to hold your tongue and not say something rather than to try to undo
what you did,
what you just said.
Or the chain of effects that took place from it.
It's easier to just kind of keep a lip on it than it is to like try to unravel like all that just happened because you said something. So, because it's that energy field will pull you into it. It will suck you, and now you're in it. And it's easier just if you don't go there. You must both learn not to let this kind of chain reaction start. You will not be able to control it once it has started. This is one of Greta's favorite teachings. She said it will pull you in. Once you make a decision for anything, you have no idea the effects of that energetic pull. You can control it before you make that decision. But it's like once you open yourself up to something, it like unleashes all these energy fields and you have no control over them. None. Then they'll just pull you in like a hurricane.
It happened to me two days ago.
I know, I saw the whole thing.
It happened to me 2 days ago. It was just, I did not ask my guide. I said, no, I'm coming. You know, I was going to go to a meeting.
Yeah.
And somebody said, don't go. And I said, no, I'm coming to that meeting. And I made a decision to just sort of really resist.
Yeah.
And I thought I was right.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled myself right into a storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it took a day to have it resolved.
Chris says, Bill, read chapter 14, LOL.
Yeah, I am. I'm reading chapter 13 and 14.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, I just want to finish this. I have 10 more minutes. It says, so, you must both learn, Bill and Helen, and Lisa, and anybody else who's here who wants to learn this, to not let this kind of chain reaction start. You will not be able to control it once it has started because everything and everyone will be pulled into the misprojection and misinterpreted accordingly. Nothing is lovely to the unloving, and this is because they are creating ugliness. And like another thing I've learned along the way, and this is why it's good when you have an idea about something to not tell everybody about it, because it's just it opens up energy fields, and it's too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, you want to do things quietly in the closed closet with the Holy Spirit and let the thing percolate a little. Like, let the thing just kind of take on its own life and then attract everything and everyone who needs to come for the project. You don't need to be, like, trumpeting your idea because when you do that, it's this idea here. You cannot control it. Once you say something, you can't control. You cannot control the chain of events that happens afterwards. You can control it before when you're just sitting quietly in your closet. You're just centered within. You're just listening. You're listening, who should I tell about this? And he'll tell you. Either tell no one or tell one person or how to tell it.
You can tell when you're...
But you trumpet it on Facebook, you can't control the chain of events.
Right. Yeah. And there's that old term. I wasn't in the Navy, but there's an old term that says link ships.
That's true.
And it'll sink your ship.
Yeah.
It'll sink your ship. And also, you know, trumpeting ideas like that. Trumpeting is advertising really for the ego. It's just advertising, I'm doing this or
See, I used to do that all the time. I'd have ideas for things, and I would tell people, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And somebody had to tell me, no, just do it and let the thing be the result. Let them see the result. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. Just do it. And then people will then see the house when it's built, or the book when it's written, or the thing when it's done. But for me, what would end up happening is I wouldn't do these things that I was saying I was going to do. So I've learned to not tell people I'm going to do something. I just allow myself to just do it. So it says, you, Helen, were definitely not acting right-mindedly by writing these notes right in front of Jonathan. Note that you wrote his name as Jonathan this time, although previously in these same notes you referred to him as Lewis, intentionally using his real name. Actually, of course, it does not matter what you call him, but note that you felt free at the time to choose the name you preferred to use. This time you were forced to call him Jonathan because you were attacking him when you took the notes in front of him, and you are now falling back on the magical device of protecting his name. Helen includes her own notes here. So this is Helen speaking now. I had been considering calling Bill rather ambivalently and had gotten up to do so, but remembered to ask. This is one of my favorite sections here. It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Right mid-action, whatever you're doing, you stop yourself and you ask. So she's getting ready to, she got up from the notes, she's getting ready to call Bill, then she remembered to ask, she stopped herself and said, should I call him? And the answer was to call him at 8:30. It would be better if he called, but he may not decide to do so. If he does not, you should try to get through at 8:30, and if he has decided not to be there, just leave a message that it is not important. This is still a kindly gesture, and the message should be put in a gentle way. And then there's a subnote that Bill did call Helen Schuckman. Without going into further elaboration, and we could devote many hours to this, let's consider all the time that we had to waste today. we're trying Jesus' patience big time. And all the notes that could have been devoted to a better purpose than undoing the waste, and thus creating further waste. There is a better use for time, too. I would have liked to have spent some time on corrections on the past notes as an important step before reviewing them. A major point of clarification is necessary in connection with the phrase replacing hatred or fear with love. He writes, no, Helen, do not check this against the prayer that Bill was very kindly typed for you on the card. That was a gracious offering on his part, and you also accepted it with grace at the time. Why should you deprive yourself of the value of the offering by referring the correction first to him? These notes, so then she just writes a little note here. These notes did not continue at this time due to the obvious fact that Helen Schuckman was still clearly not in her right mind. However, Bill later suggested that correct or correct for should be used instead of replace. At the time, he was quite sure about this, and he was perfectly right. The reason why it was essential that he make this correction was that the word replace was his choice originally and reflected a temporary misunderstanding of his own. It was, however, both courteous and necessary that he change himself, both as a sign of his own better understanding and of an avoidance of correction by someone else, which would have been discourteous. And that's the cab story. That's,
Decide for me.
Decide for me. Holy Spirit, decide for me. That's all you need to know. And then he says in the beginning, the first opening part of the manuscript, is that you just offer up a prayer every morning that to really just acknowledge God, acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and say, help me to perform whatever miracles you want of me today. That's it. So I love you guys. Notes on the board. We have 4 more minutes.
Well, I keep going back to Joel Goldsmith.
Mm.
God is on the field.
God is on the field, everybody.
God is on the field. Or the other personal notes that, mm-hmm. that Jesus had for Bill when he told Helen, tell Bill when he wants to hear from me to sit still.
Yeah.
Don't be anxious. Sit still and just say, Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Yeah.
And so those are, you know, those are suggestions for all of us.
I know.
Here I am, Lord. God is on the field. And that's why it only takes a holy instant. You know, we're in the middle of something.
Mm-hmm.
We remember to ask God. We remember to ask our guide. And the answer is given
exactly.
in that instant.
Well, that's what it says here. It says, the Holy Spirit guides me truly and quickly. So he's not waiting. He's not going to wait till later to give you an answer about a problem that seems to be confronting you today. He gives you the answer immediately. But what we do is we've already decided what we think the answer is, and we're off and running. So it's just a practice now of learning how to be still and listen. Listen, see where he's guiding us.
Now, there was we got a laugh out of this when I was explaining this on Friday last week.
Mm-hmm.
When I gave an example of Decide for Me, and it was...
He was talking about my mother calling.
He was calling me on the phone saying, "Hey, Bill, do you want to go have dinner with my mom tonight?"
Uh-huh.
With my mom tonight, and I go, "Decide for Me, yes."
Yeah.
And that way, actually, you know, that's kind of funny. And at the same time, Decide for Me could be no.
Right. And that's a nice thing, too. My mother, we have a place up here in Maine for the summer, and my mother's less than a mile down the road. She's about a half a mile down the road. So when she's here, she always wants to hang out. And so, yeah, she calls. "Want to hang out?" I'll ask Bill. Bill will go into quiet mode for a moment.
Only for a moment.
He's always asking within.
Yeah. Yeah, because I love your mom,
and
I also love hanging with her. I mean, she's become a friend of ours, and she's a best friend for you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to just close here with a prayer that I carry around on a card. It's from the Course in Miracles. "Father, your peace and joy surround me. Where I go, your peace and joy go with me. It sheds light on everyone I meet. I bring it to the desolate and lonely and afraid. I give your peace to everyone who thinks they suffer." And here comes a very daring sentence. "If you dare, send them to me, my Father. Send them to me. I am the center. I radiate your peace and your love and your joy. And I'm so happy and grateful just to be part of your plan, just to really just be a light in this world and to remember I'm one with God, that all ideas of transformation and waking up are completely and utterly ridiculous. That there is no process. It's all here and now. You just shift. You just shift into the real truth of who you are, and it's accomplished. I am one with God. I love you guys." So, yeah, I'll be back whenever there's an invitation or a call. I'm just grateful for this group and for all of you, and just for just this way that we're really just being here in the world as a light. I love you.
Bye, everyone.
And Bill has one last thing to say.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, my friend.
I love it. Aw, Lynn. I love you, Lynn.
Bye, Lynn. I love you. I love you, everyone.
I love you. Namaste. Yeah. Bill actually loves everyone he meets, and that is the truth. And certainly loves Lisa. And thank you so much, Lisa and Bill, for what a wonderful hour and wonderful 9 years.